This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, we've got winter storm watches, weather that is a little challenging, but not much more than kind of a bump in the road right now. But wanted to talk about dealing with emergency situations. And Douglas County Emergency Manager Emily Ringen, thanks for coming in.
Hi, good morning.
So, first of all, talk about settling into your new role in the last couple months.
Well, I'm still here, so that's good news, I guess. Busy. I am really enjoying being here in Douglas County. I'm working hard to meet more of my city partners. I spent a good part of the summer getting to know my fire partners, and now I'm working on law enforcement, nonprofits, schools, cities, and incorporated and unincorporated, and then just various individuals. As people come to know me, they're totally welcome to contact me. I've been starting to get out into communities and neighborhoods and all kinds of fun stuff.
Well, and it's kind of, you know, probably a little daunting after your predecessor had this job for like 50 years.
Yes, no pressure there. I hear a lot about he was loved and rightly so, and he worked very hard, and I've inherited a lot of projects and programs from him that I'm going to keep building on. Yep.
So let's talk about these emergency situations. Now, this week looked daunting, and in some places it is. Kind of, I don't know if you've seen the pictures from Tillamook, but some areas definitely have got some big challenges this week. And as we go into winter here officially in a few days, what do people often forget about when it comes to being prepared for emergencies of any kind?
Sure. Yeah, I'm very happy that I'm not here talking about evacuations for floods or any of those kinds of concerns. Of course, we were monitoring that all along. Our flood watch here in Douglas County is expected to expire. There is a, you know, more standard winter weather coming, but nothing of significance if you've lived here before. I would say the coast got most impacted. They still have a few things that they're dealing with, but again, it's more to the north and south of us this time around. Things that people tend to forget about, it's not even that people forget. I think it is very common that we need to be reminded multiple times before we actually kind of get up and go. So I think in our minds, most of us understand, hey, winter's coming, we should probably winterize our vehicles and weatherproof our homes and maybe get together a winter car kit and things like that. And we just are slow to do that. So sometimes watches and warnings and reminders are helpful. So just little things like wherever you're living, if you're living in an RV or a big fancy home, there's probably air leaks there. There's probably places that you can seal up and reduce that cold air. Everybody can probably be thinking about alternative ways to heat themselves and heat the location that they're living in, keeping in mind, of course, no charcoal grills or generators inside where you are. Reduce that carbon monoxide risk. People tend to use candles or think of candles as emergency lighting. We try to steer people away from that. It's perfectly great if you're going to be alert and safe and not fall asleep or walk away from your lit candles. But as we know, fires are an increased hazard in the winter season, both because of electricity. People have a lot more devices and lights plugged in, and people love those crackling fires and candles.
You know, you talk about devices and things being plugged in, and you know, when we had the Snowmageddon event a few years ago, one of the big things was you presume that the power is going to be there, or you have the occasional outage that lasts for generally a short period of time. That one was really, and I hate to use the overused word, unprecedented, but it really was. I mean, it was the most snowfall we'd had in 50 or 60 years here. And people, in some cases, lost power for, I know one person that didn't have power for 21 days and had to literally move from their home to their business just because that was closer in. People just, we don't always think about that as being a potential. And when we suddenly don't have power, we're worried about not only aspects of heat, but if you have no power, at some point, your cell phone is not going to work.
Yes. So there's a variety of ways to manage that. These days, we're lucky enough to be able to source fairly cheaply right now, solar-powered or backup battery devices. Maybe if you can't afford it, that's something that you can ask someone to give you for the holidays to help with that charging. It's not uncommon anymore to be able to get backup batteries for medical devices as well as for your own personal cellular or laptop devices. Typically, when there's a power outage, the jurisdiction where it's happening will try to identify or support a place where the general public can get to, where they can charge their devices or check in and get information. That might be your local library. It might be your city hall. So you just want to stay attentive to what those are. Always, ideally, checking on your neighbors and those that you know might struggle a bit more when there's a power outage. And then having water pre-stored away. If you are dependent on your electricity, like certain well situations, to provide water for you, and you know a big storm is coming, that's a good time to have food sources set aside that don't need your day-to-day cooking. If you're used to working in a microwave, look for some other ways to do that, heater packs, and then have that water set aside so you've got it ready to go.
And people sometimes, I mean, some folks are really good about having lots of food around. A lot of people aren't. They make trips to the store 5 times a week, and you look around the cupboard and say, if something really happened, how much food do I have here? And I actually did that last night just because I was moving some things around in the kitchen. And when you don't have kids living at home and things like that, I don't think I would get more than about 4 days on the food that's in our house right now.
Yeah, the ideal standard is 2 weeks ready. But of course, if you're having difficulty with finances or with storage, maybe you live in a small shared space, 2 weeks can feel difficult. But that's when I would really encourage folks to contact Douglas Public Health Network or myself directly. You can find me on the county web pages, because it is easier for me to problem solve with you and your particular situation. I can help you come up with some ideas for alternative heating, for some cost reductions in the winter, and just talk through, like, what are your food sources? What are your needs? And I can help you individualize it and problem solve it. Do I have a minute for a little side plug that
Sure.
might be a little unusual? I wanted to take this opportunity because I work with first responder families a lot, and I have been in this situation. I just want to say this is the time of year for care for self and care for others, as well as your cars and your homes and winterizing. And so I want to talk a little bit about remembering and making space for holiday losses. That's a thing that's real and that I'm helping some folks with right now. And I just want to say it's okay to acknowledge the grief or loss of someone, and sometimes it can be really comforting to say, hey, I had a memory of this person that I want to share. Is that okay with you? Or offer a comfort item, or just say, I'm thinking about you. Is there, can I get you some groceries, or can I help you with your laundry? And just remembering to touch base, and ask if it's okay to share those memories, because sometimes those memories can be really nice.
You know, it's a good thing to point out that not only is it things when you talk about emergencies and winter planning and things like that, it's not just the physical stuff, it really is the mental health part.
Yeah, and that's probably top of mind for a couple of different reasons, but I just attended a psychological first aid training, so I've been through my first aid, physical first aid refreshers, and now I'm working on my psychological ones, and there is some people are more depressed in the winter, and that's okay, and so maybe just working on helping them find and identify and bring into their life, good smells, brighter lights, good sights that are energizing. And also, if you're trapped in your home because there's a big snowstorm, what a great opportunity to pack and organize your emergency items and maybe go through and get that evacuation tote set up for summer, so you don't have to worry about it right before summer.
Well, a lot of things to consider, and I know you've got a lot of information up on the county website, right?
I just started. Unfortunately, I've been so busy with other things. It's not as great as I would like it to be, but there's some starter information, and I will absolutely be, over the next few months, adding more to it, more resources for all age groups and just continue to check back as we make that bigger and better for everybody.
All right. Emily Ring, Douglas County Emergency Manager, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
8:41 at the Morning Report.